Welcome to Bob Cargill's Marketing Show, a ridiculously awesome podcast bursting with insightful commentaries and intriguing conversations on the topics and issues that are on the minds of marketers, advertisers, social media, and PR professionals today.
Hey, everybody, this is Bob Cargill. I am sitting down in the Starbucks in Sudbury enjoying my eggnog latte, and I'm sitting next to Jed Hamill, who I think has a hot chocolate. Looks good, Jed. And we are going to talk about marketing and social media and who knows what. Jed, I met about 6 months ago, 8 months ago at an event that he hosted, that he put together. He's a marketer extraordinaire, but he has so many skills. Video, I think, is one of his biggest skills, and he's going to tell us all about his background, what's trending in video today, and again, who knows what we'll talk about. Jed, just want to say hello. Thanks for sitting down with me and talking today. Tell my audience all about your background, if you don't mind.
Sure. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. So I am a video producer, events coordinator, and a marketer. I got my start working in Los Angeles on TV shows like The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. Actually, it was NBC Late Night, so technically I was working on a number of shows. Worked on a TV show called ER. Was there after George Clooney was there. I've done a number of independent films, including one that won Best Film at Comic-Con, has about 1 million views on YouTube, and stars the kid from Zoe 101. So that's lots of fancy. That's just my like party chatter, but I'm a avid hiker, camper, a very bad karaoke artist, and I enjoy talking to people such as my friend Bob. So that's way more interesting than my fancy credits. I also do, like I said, events. Just based on the fact that I have a good amount of friends and fancy contacts in the Boston tech and marketing scene, I put on events to kind of shed light on things that I find interesting. Like we did a Women in Tech event. We did a content marketing event with Bob and a number of other fancy friends. And I just did an animation event in Los Angeles. I want to give a shout out to WeWork, who has hosted all of those events. They're really great to me, and I'm really appreciative of them. And then also work for a tech startup called Encoda, which sells basically it's healthcare software, so it's home care. It's a bit kind of a longer conversation, but the point is that we sell software to help manage healthcare, and I do social media marketing and content marketing for them. So yeah, lots of fun stuff to talk about.
Yeah, so Jed, you do all these different things, and I stressed video at the beginning. I want to talk about that in just a second, but your event planning and event hosting, I was so impressed when you hosted that event that I spoke at. Your energy level was off the charts. You pulled together a great audience, a diverse audience, an eclectic audience, an enthusiastic audience, and you were the leader of that crowd. You got everyone going. I was so impressed. I want to say that. So kudos for your energy level. Talk about all your videos that you have done and that you are maybe presently doing. What projects are you working on?
Oh, sure. I'm actually working on a lot. I'm doing some corporate stuff, which is not nearly as fun, but it pays the bills. And then I have a music video coming out. We're premiering it at Once Somerville, which is a ballroom in the Somerville area. Boston Emissions, which is a radio station or radio show on 100.7, is co-hosting, so we'll be showing our music video there. It's called Hot Tub Wingman. It's a very fun. It's basically like almost like a Katy Perry video, but with a little punk rock vibe. It's very fun, very charming. I'm doing a music video for a friend of mine who is in a band called Semplica, which was he's a Boston-based artist who's now living in Los Angeles. And hopefully, I can't announce it just yet because it's not fully official, but I've been in talks with some friends of mine who, or I should say acquaintance, to be more accurate, who is in a band that is playing South by Southwest and played Boston Calling, which is a very big festival here in Boston. So, and they're on Billboard, so there's a good chance for them to be seen and heard. But frankly, they're just a really, really great band that I admire. And I'm excited to work with them because, honestly, like music videos are really easy to make, but they're really hard to make well. And it's an art form that requires a lot of thought and passion and care. And so I actually have a lot of passion for this song, so hopefully you'll be singing in the future. And thanks again for mentioning my energy level. I'm trying really hard to sound relaxed. So there's a thing that happens when you talk in a lower voice and talk slower, then people tend to listen more than when I'm in my natural state of bouncing around like an atom. So I'm trying really hard to sound like coherent. So hopefully I'll achieve it. But yeah, that event was fantastic. It was an event that we did at WeWork with Bob and the American Marketing Association, with Juliana Casali, who is founder of Boston Content. We had a bunch of good friends, and Christian Jones was there, and I'm sure I'm going to miss somebody, but also Sarah Bedrick, who was a co-founder for HubSpot, who is now doing, I'm sorry, not HubSpot, that's not accurate, co-founder for HubSpot Academy, which is the program that teaches people how to use the marketing platform, and then she's now part of something called Compt, which is like an HR software company, so I was really glad to meet all those people.
And Jed, it takes one to know one, meaning my energy level is up there as well. A lot of people tell me that. I don't know if it compares favorably to yours or equally to yours, should I say. But I think we're both energetic guys, enthusiastic guys, passionate guys, and kindred spirits. We were talking earlier about video. I do a ton of video myself. You have seen some of it. I pretty much do it on my own, or believe it or not, my wife will film me. So we're talking shoestring budget, if you will, no frills, self-promotion, self-done, if you will. What do you think of that kind of video versus the kind of video you do that is in a whole nother league? And what do you think is the best kind of video for today's social media crowd, today's audience?
Great question. Yeah, so I think that there are two things. One is, for the longest time, video was as an art form. It was something that was not so much a medium, but like a tool to create something that was a lot easier than working with film. And now it's much more of a platform, meaning that the focus has shifted from video that is kind of designed mindfully to create a certain vibe or a certain feeling, and it's mainly just a tool to convey information. So to answer your question, I would say that you want to have a wide range of types of videos. I think the kind of videos that you do, I was saying, are really great. I think that they are shoestring. They get your point across really well. They create energy. They show you in your natural state. So as a tool for... if you haven't seen Bob's videos, you definitely should. But they're great because they're, for one thing, when you're scrolling through social media or you're scrolling through LinkedIn or whatever you're on, you want to see videos that catch your eye, and so your videos catch your eye. It's very, just to be clear, folks listening, what he does is it very often has a phone or a camera that's, not stationary but moving around an outdoor area. And so, long story short, to answer your question, I think that what you want to do is if you're starting out, you want to have video that presents you in your natural state, in your most authentic state. Because I think these days, folks care a lot less about kind of how fancy a video looks. They care much more about who the person on the video seems to be. Like, do they seem authentic? Do they seem genuine? Are they providing value to you that you didn't have in the past? And do you want to listen to them? Do you want to hear what they have to say? And are they saying things that inspire you? And once you have that kind of emotional connection to a content creator, then you're more likely to listen, more likely to kind of give them kudos, and more likely to perhaps buy to them. But I just sensed I was rambling a little bit, but to get back to the point is that there are just different goals for different videos. To say that a video or that a painting that I paint, or a painting that Bob Ross paints, from Joy Painting, or a painting that Da Vinci paints, to say that they're not art, or not all three of those things are art, is not inaccurate. They're all art. They're just different kinds of art for different kinds of reasons. And I would venture to say that if a painting that I painted would not have the same effect as a painting that Da Vinci painted. So I think the answer to the question in a nutshell is that there are easy ways to create videos that are effective and that can build audiences and build thought leadership and create and to keep people engaged and to have them down the funnel. But the reality is, if you really want to have a video that presents your your vision, presents who you are as a company, presents your brand, you need to have a wide range of videos. And some of those, I mean, it becomes a sales pitch for me, but really it's a point of frustration, is that, you know, you spend a whole lot of time worrying about what font you have on your letterhead and how good your video, your website looks, and, you know, even what you're wearing, like what kind of shoes you're wearing to the work or to the meeting. But when it comes to video, you're like, all right, I got a phone and some light. I know how to talk, so I have a video. And sometimes that's true, but really that wouldn't be the video you'd want to have on your front page of your website or as a pitch deck to investors or your clients. So what I would recommend is that you have a series of different kinds of videos. One like Bob does, where he's walking down the street or walking through a park and saying kind of inspirational things. I would have videos that are tutorials that are more kind of static and kind of creative. And then the last kind I would say is a quote-unquote a professional one, where, well, something that's what I do, is you find the right lighting, you find the right background, you find the right music, you find a way to ask questions or somebody can kind of give authentic answers in their best way, to present themselves in the best way that possible. And the other thing I'd say is that, like, the one that we were just talking about this earlier, is that if you have a video where if somebody saw it from like across an airport lobby and didn't hear the sound, they should be able to understand what's happening in that video by the visuals, by the background, by the text, whatever it is. But very often, if you see a video that someone just did on their camera phone, unless you find the person like interesting to look at it, and you don't see what they're saying, then there's no value to that video, and that's a missed opportunity. So I think visuals are key, simplicity is key, and knowing what your goals are, like what's the ROI you're looking for, and understand that like when you go to a concert, you don't dress the same as when you go to a coffee shop, you don't dress the same as when you're meeting with your boss. And so to have one video that like looks like you're on your way to a concert when you're trying to impress people about I'm getting distracted. We are at Starbucks after all. But the point is that there are different videos for different reasons, and to think that you can just need a video camera and to think off the cuff is, I would say, inaccurate.
And Jed, one of my goals in 2019 is to work with someone like yourself to take some of my videos. I've done about 500, believe it or not, on my own. I think maybe the next 500, at least a few of them, should be produced or in collaboration with someone like yourself. I'm very curious how they would turn out if I would actually engage a professional such as yourself with so much talent. I wanted to mention, we're both from Sudbury. Coincidentally, and we are here talking to my audience from Sudbury at the Starbucks in Sudbury on Route 20. You live both in L.A. and in Boston. I think you mentioned some of your background earlier, but could you go into a little more detail about your past experience, and maybe were there any stories or any highlights or any name-dropping you want to do just to entertain our listeners?
Yeah, so I'll start with the easy stuff. I'm a pretty big name-dropper myself, so hopefully that I won't try too hard, but just from like a sort of the starting point. So I started working for NBC Late Night a number of years ago. And basically my job ultimately was to, when someone comes on the show, it's not like they had a conversation already, but the guest and the host know what they're going to be saying, the topics they're going to be covering. So my job was to figure out why the guest was on the show, to figure out like what they're there to promote, what they want to talk about, like what's kind of some interesting little fun facts. And I would send it to the producers to sort of craft the pre-interview and interview. And then as I kind of progressed along the ranks, I worked on a smaller show where I got the opportunity to be a producer for a short while. But what I found was that I really didn't want to be a cog in someone else's wheel. I wanted to, have my own thing. So the thing that I found in Boston is that, like, for most folks, it's way more impressive to know a background performer who was in one scene when Denzel Washington than it was to have somebody who found a way to work with a budget and 30 people out in the desert to shoot a film that only got a million views or something like that. So I guess what I'm saying is that I realized I would much rather be obscure but kind of run the show than to kind of, you know, be in a fancy arena and not really be able to, you know, just to be a cog in the wheel. So I left NBC And since that time, or after that, I realized that I really had a passion for independent film. And part of that was that I didn't really want to be a producer. And a producer is somebody who, like, does the logistics, make sure that somebody, that people, you know, aren't allergic to the food that's on set, that they're, we have the right permits, that, you know, if you're working with someone who is a, you know, a child, that there's a teacher on set and that you're following the union rules for how long they can work and so on like that. It's actually a first AD's job, but when you're in an independent world, you have to make sure that you're in charge of all those things. And I didn't really want to do all those things, but I wanted to make movies. And frankly, no one else wanted to or could do it. And it just turned out over time after time after time that, you know, I ended up being the only one who wanted, or at least had the gumption to go and do those things, and I got better at it. And I started doing, I've done something for the American Film Institute with the directing workshop for women. I've done a bunch of music videos. I did a music video with a guy, he's a hip-hop artist named Skinny Cavallo, and we had Slane, who was in The Town, be a guest star for that. I mentioned the Legacy. I'm trying to think what else. I mean, I've done a lot of those things. So in terms of like... I do music videos. I've done videos for Techstars, for CIC, for something called the Gallery District Hall. So in terms of my name dropping, I'll tell a real quick story. So this summer, I was working for a co-working space this year, and I kind of left to follow my passion, which is to hike and to travel and to be in both coasts and to do videos and creative events, and so that's what I did. So the most recent animation event I did was featured producers from formerly Cartoon Network and currently of the Amazon Network, someone who worked on Pan's Labyrinth, somebody who was a storyboard artist for the Lego Movie, and they were just lovely. So I'm really kind of grateful to get back into the studio world. But the most recent thing that I did was I worked at a TV show called Lip Sync Battle, or actually it was an offshoot of Lip Sync Battle. But I used to work, back in the day, I used to work for ER on the Warner Brothers lot, and I hadn't been there in years and years and years and years. And so I was able to kind of, this summer, kind of enjoy being back on the Warner Brothers lot after 10 years. And that was also fun. And actually, I don't really like name dropping, but if there's someone who was on The Tonight Show in the past, I don't know, 7 years, I probably know them. My favorite story recently is that I was visiting a friend of mine who works on the Fox studio lot, and I was in the lobby, and I saw Colin Cowherd, or whatever his name is, he's like a sports guy, and that was interesting. But I was minding my own business, and this woman came up to me, she's like, "You know what? You need a cupcake." And so I think it was her birthday or something. So I was just minding my own beeswax, and this random person gave me a cupcake. She was just somebody who worked on the lot. I'm not quite sure who she was, and didn't talk to her since. But now I have a fond memory of being on the warm sun and getting a free cupcake by some random stranger while I was on the NBC lot. I did bump into Justin Bieber a day before I hurt my knee. Oh, he's fantastic. Who doesn't love the Biebs? I hike up to this place called the Wisdom Tree, which is near Mount Hollywood on the opposite side. But basically, it's a really steep climb. And I bumped into this gentleman accidentally, and I didn't know who he was. Or I know what Justin Bieber looks like, but I was doing a half an hour hike in half the time, or that's what my goal was. But I got to the top, and everybody had their cell phones out and was live tweeting they all looked like they were talking to their phone like Bob does with his videos.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, that was Justin Bieber. And I was like, well, all right then. So the next day, I tripped and hurt my knee. So I'm not going to blame Justin Bieber, but I'm not going to say that there wasn't a connection. So,
yeah. And you are limping today. Is that the injury you suffered that next day?
I have. I think I actually hurt my knee pretty severely, but I'm getting there. So hopefully I'll be running with you sometime shortly. I know you're an avid runner.
Yes, I am. And hopefully running the marathon this coming year in 2019 yet again. That's my goal. Anyways, what I want to do, Jed, now is just wrap up and ask you if there's anything else you want to say and tell people what you're doing next, what the next big project is, and don't forget to tell people how they can reach out to you if you'd like them to.
I love talking to people. I actually talked a lot longer than I wanted to. I was trying to be pithy, but it didn't really work. So this is what I have coming up. I have, again, at the Once Ballroom on January 17th, there's a music video premiere. There's also, that same night, there's three bands playing. You can check it out on Boston Emissions, which again as a ZLX show with Angel Wood. They're promoting it. I'm going to be doing an event in February, either in LA or Boston, and I'm going to talk to my friends at the American Marketing Association, and I know Bob knows some people there, so hopefully we'll make that happen. I am doing... I'm losing track here. Oh, I'm also starting my own podcast, or I'm working with a friend of mine. We're calling it the Video Garage. It's going to be talking about ways to improve video and how to you can do simple things to reach your audience and get convert leads into customers. And then I imagine one of my first guests would also be Bob. I can return the favor and I can be quiet for once. If you want to reach me, definitely just email me at jeremyjedhamel@gmail.com. That's JeremyJedHamel at gmail.com, or my website is kind of an odd name, but it's voltavisual.com. So that's V as in Victor, OLTA visual.com. And yeah, I mean, I do events, I do content marketing, I can, just help you learn how to ramble on and on in a podcast, whatever you need. I'm there. So I'm always interested in finding folks who are, fun and positive and want to do, try to help others and, in the realm of marketing, film, video, and events. So, well, thanks again, Bob. I do appreciate you taking the time. And, yeah, if you guys want to reach out or you folks want to reach out, feel free to let me know.
Thank you so much, Jed. That's Jed Hamel, an immensely talented guy, very, very talented as a video producer, a videographer, as a content marketer, as an event planner, and most importantly, he's a ridiculously awesome guy. I really enjoyed this conversation. I hope you all have too. This has been Bob Cargill's Marketing Show. Thanks for listening. I will talk to you again soon.